be kind. You can be long-suffering. You can be full of joy. You can have peace. You can, not because of anything in your own self.
That's right.
But because of Him. Because He's in you.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
God has given us the ability to forgive others. Today, Gloria Copeland and her guests Terry Pearsons and Kelly Swisher invite you to join them as they reveal the freedom that comes from saying yes to God's ways. Now, here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We have special guests today. Kelly and Terry are with us, and they're going to give us some good things from the Word. We're talking about walking in love, and we all know that that is what we're supposed to do. Now we have to do it in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to start with the definition of from the Amplified of love. Love endures long. This is 1 Corinthians 13:4. We should all know this by heart. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own right or its own ways. Boy, that's a big one, isn't it? Or its own ways, for it is not self-seeking. God's love is not self-seeking. It is not, you got to get a grip on this one, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. That was just really good for me to learn. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Think about how much happier marriages would be if you weren't touchy, not you specifically, you or your spouse if you have one, touchy or fretful or resentful. We should not be easy to get our feelings hurt. That's what that means. We should not be touchy, fretful, or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. I mean, love doesn't keep score. What does love do? When somebody does you wrong, does it say, I'm gonna get even with that guy? No, love just says, well, I bless that person, and I forgive them, and I go free. Isn't that what happens? If you'll just do what the Scripture says, you don't have to live under that kind of duress. You can forgive. You and I are like God. We can forgive. It's a big thing. Love takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. I tell you, the way to be really strong in this life is to walk in love.
That's true.
Love keeps you from being hurt. It keeps you from having to get in this pity party thing. We forgive. If you forgive, you can't hold it against anybody. So, the Lord is actually trying to do us a favor. He's teaching us to be like He is. What does He do? He forgives. Do you ever go to Him and ask for forgiveness and He's just not in the mood today? No. He always is a forgiver, and He wants us to be like Him. Glory to God. What have you got for us today, Terry?
What have I got? Oh, there's so many things. You get start up thinking about
well,
all
just
of this.
Go for it.
Well, you know, we think about the love of God, and we get to talking about it from the Scripture, and we all agree, yes, God's love is like that. But so often we try to make God out to be, we act like God is like us instead of us being like God. And we have
That's
the idea that He's not forgiving. if somebody puts you to it, well, you might say, oh, yes, he is. But then when we fall short, we have condemnation or we have guilt or those kinds of pressures, when really what we want to do is go to the Word and let the Word paint a picture of what God is like towards us. So then we have an accurate picture of how we're supposed to be towards
others.
That's good, yeah. And we can't love others until we have a loving picture of our Heavenly Father. It's very frustrating to try to be like God if we have a wrong idea of what He's like. And God is love.
That's right.
He doesn't have love. He doesn't go get love. He doesn't choose between love and something else. It's not love in this situation, but not love in that.
That's right.
He is love. And love is more. You think about this. God's love towards us is more than just not being mad at us. It wouldn't be a good thing for Him to be mad at you, but it's more than just not being mad. It's more, He made a way. He sought out a way. Love. The Jewish word in Hebrew is hasid, and it means a burning desire to express all that it is on behalf of somebody else. Love, the agape love, is love that is, one definition I read said, agape is an oath to love regardless of any other condition. It's
right.
A commitment and a desire to love without any impetus, without any reason other than that's what love does. You could say it this way, love loves because it's love. Doesn't love because you did something to earn it. Doesn't love because someone did something for you. It doesn't not love because they didn't do something for you. When you, all the way back to the very, very, very beginning, before you or any man or woman, before Adam, before Eve, love created. The Jews say that all of creation was an act of kindness. I think we kind of make light of kindness as though being kind is just being soft-spoken or gentle, but they aren't the same thing. Mm-hmm. Kindness is actually an act. It's an action taken irregardless of what anybody has done for you. There's no impetus to it other than itself. It is its own motivator. It's its own power. It's its own driver. It's its own reason. It needs no outside reason.
That's right.
It is its own reason. That's love. And because of love, God so loved that He had to create and provide before there ever was mankind as an act of kindness so that He could give it to man. So He could give to Adam, so He could do something for him. There's a lot of idea in the New Testament church, among our thinking, we have gotten to, you know, in thinking that we are saved, not by works, but by grace, and that's true. But with that, we threw out the works as though the works no longer mattered, when actually what God did, what He began with, was a work. Was a work of kindness. The work of creation was an action. It was something He did because of who He is, because He's love. He did something. And all of the Old Testament is a driving towards works. Now, for the Old Testament believer, the works were what made it whether you were saved or not saved. And the Jewish idea was that by your works you can ascend to a higher level of holiness, higher level of righteousness. And in a way it did. It brought them closer and closer to God, but they never could get close enough. You could never come fully to the presence. God had to be in a box behind the curtain. And those works never could equate you to God. But you could do a lot with those. In fact, without the works, without the works, the obeying the commands, and all the commandments were based in love. Ten commandments that were the, as Dad put it just the other day, he said, they were, those ten were the top ten, God's top ten, that summarized all the others, 600 plus commandments. In those ten commandments, there were four towards God and six towards men. The first four to God, the last six towards men, and they all were definitions of love and honor. That people had no clue how. And Jesus summed all that up in two. He said, okay, the greatest is love God, first four. Second is love others as you love yourselves, the second set. But all those works, all the doing in order to love God, and all the doing in order to love men, you just couldn't keep doing it. You try and then you make a mistake, try and make a mistake. But when Jesus came, what he did for us was he took away the inability to love by providing for us righteousness, made us right or equal to God. Not by something we did, but by his own equality.
We were born of him.
We were born of him. So that we're born
his offspring
of love. We're just like him. We are love creatures. We're born
Amen.
Of love. We were recreated of love. Now why? Because it goes all the way back to that first thing. So you can do the works. Ephesians says, in fact, maybe we could look at that in Ephesians. Ephesians 2, verse 6, he raised us up together with him. He made us sit down together with him. Think of it. Made us to be able to sit with love. Love himself in the very heavenly sphere in Christ. And he did this so that he might clearly demonstrate through all the ages to come the immeasurable riches of his free grace, of his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ. There's that kindness. Not just going to be nice to you. You know, he's not going to slap you around, but he'll be nice. No. The kindness of God created the universe. The kindness
Amen.
Of God gave us everything. Everything. The whole human existence, the whole world, the whole spiritual realm, everything came about as expression of
yes,
his love.
That's right.
And then it says, he caused us to sit in the throne with him over all of that. And then for the rest of eternity, he will demonstrate that kindness. For it is by grace that we
Praise
are saved
God.
Through our faith, not of your own striving. Oh, thank God. You could never earn this. A thousand lifetimes, you could never do enough to earn how good God is. But he gave it to you. And then it says, not because of works, lest any man should boast, look what I did. Hey, you owe this to me, God. And we're not supposed to even be that with one another. You're supposed to love me. You owe me love. It isn't about what you owe me. But instead, he says, not that any man should boast what he can do. We are God's own handiwork, recreated in Christ so that we can do the good works that God established for us to do. It flipped it all around where Old Testament was works to try to get closer to God, try to be like God, try to act like God. And you just try and try and fail, try and try, fail. But Jesus came, brought the new birth so that you don't have to try and try and fail. He didn't just try. He did it, gave it to you, and caused you to be born again in his image, in his likeness,
Praise
with
God.
His
That's
ability,
right.
with his love, so that now you can do those works. You can be kind. You can be long-suffering. You can be full of joy. You can have peace. You can, not because of anything in your own self.
That's right.
Because of him, because he's in you. God so equipped you. He didn't just equip you with something he has. Remember, God doesn't have love. He is love, and He gave you, to you, Himself. He put Him in you. Amen. He put His life, His ability, the very essence of what makes Him God is in you. Now, do you think God has ever run up a situation where He didn't know how to act in love? Did he ever come to a place where He was thinking of Himself and not somebody else? I've just had it.
No. Nope.
You're on my last nerve. Yeah. Glory to God, we'd all be gone. No. But He put in us that same strength and ability to love. So we have to think about Him first of all that way and know that His mercy is new every morning. His love endures forever.
Endures is probably a good word, too.
It's a good word. It's a good word.
Putting up with all of us endures.
Yeah, you know, it's enough to think about God just putting up with me. But He put up with all of us at the same time.
That is awesome.
You know, and all the, you ever had a hard day and you come home and think, oh, this one and that one. This one lady the other day, she had 8 kids. And somebody mentioned that little song, Count Your Blessings, Count Them One by One. Count the many things that God has done. And she said, you know, with 8 children, there were just times that just want to pinch their little heads. And I thought, boy, 8 kids. She said, but what I would do is they would start irritating me and I would iron and I'd sing that song, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. And I'd name each one of the 8 children and say, he's a blessing. She's a blessing. This one's a blessing. But you know, God doesn't have to do that. He knows each and every one. It never pushes Him to the point that He can't take it anymore. And that same ability is in you. That same ability to do that is in me. It's what Kelly talked about yesterday. How do you do that? You clothe yourself.
You know, that's where it's so frustrating, is to know that you have to walk in love. Because some people don't even know that and they don't even try. Maybe that's less frustrating. Yeah. You know, I mean, it brings death to your family and your life. But when you know you're supposed to walk in love, that can be so frustrating when people try to do it the old way.
Yeah.
They try in themselves to do it when God's given them the new way, but they're not using that. And what you said about her ironing, she's choosing it.
She's putting it on.
She's putting it on. They're a blessing. And I just think you hit on the frustration point when you said that about we've been given the way to do what God wants you to do. We've been given the ability to do it.
And it's putting it on. One of the things that maybe the thing that comes to keep us from walking in love is pressure. Mm-hmm. There is an intense pressure, not only from your own flesh, but the devil's right there to help you, right? To help put pressure on you to have your own way.
Mm-hmm.
Pressure to demand. Pressure to be rude. Pressure to be selfish. There is tremendous pressure. It's the whole way of the world. It's just the stream of life is to have my way.
That's not getting better either.
No, it's getting worse, and we live in an atmosphere of it, and your flesh feeds on that, and you really can't help but come in contact with it because it's everywhere, and because our flesh is not yet glorified, it's redeemed but not glorified, there's an immense pressure that even comes from within our own selves to have our own way and to be short-tempered or impatient, not long-suffering, and so forth. So what we have to do is get the pressure off. By faith, we resist the devil. He'll flee from you. One of the things is just a little trick of the trade, so to speak, and that's praying in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I'd made a real determination to walk in love, and there was one day at the office, and we would gather some of us early before office time to pray, and we'd come in really early. The blinds were shut, beautiful little moody atmosphere. We're on our knees praying. Got our heads down on our little chairs. We're just praying, I don't know, a dozen of us or so. And the boss walks in, flips on all the lights. And this is for staff prayer, staff chapel. Well, it really irritated me. It really, I did thought that is so.
It wasn't me. Tell me, it wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you. It wasn't you.
It wasn't Ken. No, it wasn't. Who it was. It's an unnamed source.
Yeah, well, I can name it if you want. But anyway, I did. I got so instantly, you know, you can go from love to grrr and just that flash. And I was on my knees with my face down on my chair, and I still looked very righteous, I'm sure, to everyone else. But inside, I suddenly hit a boiling point. And that's silly to get mad about something like that, but I think we've all done it. I have anyway, more than once. Just agitated me, ruined our atmosphere. That was so rude, so inconsiderate. And this is going into staff prayer time, right? The official start of staff prayer. And I'm so thankful the Lord helped me catch it.
Yes.
And I had to get the pressure off to be mad. I was pressured to be agitated over that. And there wasn't a whole lot I could do about it. He was the boss, right? So you're not going to say too much anyway. That would have been foolish. But I began to pray in tongues. Lord, help me. And I resisted that pressure by praying in tongues. And just, I refused that. Refuse the stress, enter the rest, is what George says.
That's
refuse
good.
Refuse the stress, enter the rest. Well, it is a choice. You have to pull that closet, pull
stress.
The love out of the closet of your spirit, you said yesterday. You put it on. Sometimes it feels like a put on. You feel like you are faking it. Well, okay, fake it by faith until your feelings match up to what you're doing by faith.
It's really, you're really not faking it, you're controlling.
Choosing. You are. You're choosing.
You're controlling. You're choosing.
The rest that's of yourself will say this is
yes.
fake. Well, and it is. You're making your body do something that it doesn't feel real to you yet, but by faith it is, and it's more real. Love loves, whether the circumstances make it easy or not. And love loves just because it's love,
that's
and you
right.
choose to do it. You know, the pressure lifted off me. It took a few moments, a few minutes. Heard Joyce Meyer say one time she'd run in the bathroom and with a pillow, put her face in the pillow and scream real loud, then put the pillow back and go back and smile. Whatever, get that off.
That's right.
And don't put the pressure off. Don't let the pressure off on somebody else. But you just turn your face to the Lord. And His equipment kicks in gear, and it's there. It is in there. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
To rest is to cast all care on Him. I said He's got our whole life plan, and if we study His Word and do what He tells us to do, we rest in Him, He gets the job done. And I said, that's what's so awesome. We just get to see Him work and be there and watch Him do it. How awesome is that?
Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org. God has a good plan for families. His ways keep singles secure, marriages strong, children safe, and relationships prospering. The Family of Faith package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries is a practical, word-based resource to help you build your home on the solid foundation of God's Word. Family Promises by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland arms you with God's scriptural truths that help you stand strong for your family. Protecting Your Family in Dangerous Times by Kelly Copeland Swisher removes the fear and lets you know God is there for you no matter what the circumstance. Grace of a Godly Woman by Terry Copeland Pearsons equips you to handle all that you're facing with God's grace and strength. And Hannah's Miracle Child by Marty Copeland brings inspiration to those believing for children. You can have the relationships and family you've always dreamed of. Take hold of God's promises and have faith in God. Order your Family of Faith package for just $19. This package contains material that is sure to help you overcome many of life's challenges and enjoy lasting relationships in every area of your life. For 48-hour processing, order Family of Faith Package online at kcm.org. You may also call or write to us today. For these and other KCM products, go to www.kcm.org.
You know, you may think, I just can't do that. I just don't have what it takes. Well, the way you get what it takes is you make Jesus the Lord of your life and you get born of love. When we're born again, we're born over again, we're born of love. And the love of God is what? Shed abroad in our hearts, that's according right. to the book of Romans. And so, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, it's impossible to walk in the love of God because love comes out of the reborn heart, God's love. You can walk in love to a degree in the natural, but I'm talking about the love of God. So if you've never done that, life begins when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. I mean, until then, we are just in a struggle on our own, trying to do something that we haven't got the inward power to do. So if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we're going to lead you in prayer, and you pray this after us. Just say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I make you the Lord of my life.
I make you the Lord of my life.
I set myself to follow you.
I set myself to follow
you. To walk in your precepts.
To walk in your precepts.
To obey you.
To obey you.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
To be my teacher.
To be my teacher.
I receive the new birth.
I receive the new birth.
I receive the Holy Spirit.
I receive the Holy Spirit.
And I give you all the praise.
I give you all the praise.
I say this.
I say this.
Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
That's how you get changed on the inside. Glory to God. We've got a free salvation book for you and how to study your Bible. We'd be glad to send it to you absolutely free. If you'd like to have it, just let us know it. This is a great way to start your walk, and it is a walk and it is a start because we have to grow up into Him and learn all. It's not just what we do, but the Bible's full of what He's done for us. If we never see it in the Scripture, we don't know how to walk in it. So let us send this to you free. Join us again tomorrow. This is Gloria and Kelly and Terry reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, take the next step toward understanding who you are in Christ. Be sure to request your free salvation package from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland online at kcm.org. God has a good plan for you. Have faith in God, awaken your heart to Him, and live in the blessing every day. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory,
we seek after love. We go after this walk of love. We refuse to quit. We won't be discouraged. If we mess up, what do? We repent, and we get right back up, and we go at love again. Amen.